Welcome to The Faithful Servant, a podcast reaching you in the midst of your battles, where you can find hope, joy, wisdom, and healing. My name is Eric Howland, and at the end of the day, my hope is that I can hear the words, "Well done, my faithful servant." Welcome to this week's episode of The Faithful Servant podcast, and I'm bringing my friend Al Brown back. Last week's episode, you got to be introduced to a man that just follows after God's heart. And I want to dive a little further into an aspect in which he talked about, which was just kind of that whole aspect of finding your purpose. And I've talked about this on past episodes of, you know, we have this desire in us to have a purpose in life. But oftentimes we struggle because we want it on our time. We want it on our standards, on how we should live out our purpose. And I want to encourage everyone here to say that that's not how God works. And that is encouragement, because God is in control of it, your purpose, because he gave you your purpose. But Al, jump right in. But here's kind of the whole aspect that I really was hit last week was this. Is when you knew that your purpose was to be an evangelist, a preacher for God, to show people God's love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, all that. You brought up the aspect of training. Mm-hmm. But I want to go further into that in saying this. Is it's not necessarily a training of reading a book. Or studying for a test.
So true.
It's a training of life experiences, and our purpose oftentimes changes throughout our lives because we are in a different season of life experiences time and time again. And just from my own life, 45 years old, I'm still in training.
Me too. I'm 64. I'll be 64 next month, and I'm still in training.
So when you think of your life experiences, your purpose, and how they kind of came together, how can you help someone out there to not be discouraged that they just might not know what their purpose is right now?
Well, to start off with knowing our purpose, I believe based on my experience in life, my experience walking with the Lord and studying his word, that we always, even from the beginning of time, once we reach the age of accountability, we already start walking in our purpose. We're just not mindful or understanding of what we're doing or what's going on. As we, like you were saying, seeking your purpose, still seeking your purpose, and as we are now, I believe the purpose doesn't change. There's just stages. There's levels. And as I heard from a well-known man of God, he likes to, it's deeper than levels. He always say dimensions, because God, there's no figuring out God. You can understand what his word says, but he can change the pattern or the route at any time to get us back on track. For example, like I said, I grew up, I was in the bar and I ran the streets at a young age. But I always loved to talk. I was a why baby. I always asked questions. So me now, or early on in my, not early on, but as I begin to mature in the Lord, and I look back, I see that my purpose was from my gift of communication. I love to talk. I love to pry and figure out things. And then I never really enjoyed always going status quo. I would go against the grain when I feel in my heart that that's what I need to do. Now, I could be wrong, but that's, I go by what I believe in my heart. And so, for example, I always loved to talk. I loved communicating with people. I just love people. And so you figure out now my purpose has to do with people. Now, the other thing is I sold drugs. I stole, I fought. I've been in jail. I did a whole bunch of things. But it all had to do with hanging out with people. And I'll put it this way, through my studies, I wrote up I call it a format, but what's another word that we have for it? A syllabus.
Okay, yeah.
I have several syllabus, but I wrote up something and I heard it from some other preachers, is that number one, our purpose will be something that you love to do and don't have to get paid for it. Like, for example, I loved helping people. I found myself in the nursing field, working as a nursing assistant for 9 to 10 years. And I did that because I loved helping them. I don't like calling them patients, my friends, like they was family members. Even this old prejudiced white dude, and it got to the point where it didn't bother me. But and then check this out, he was very physical with people, but he respected me because I respected him, even though he tried to get under my goat. He tried to get under my skin. His name was Jacob. He was a Jewish dude. And he gave everybody trouble except me. Now, I'd say he gave most of the people 95% trouble. He gave me like 5% trouble, problems. Now, he always tried me, but he respected me, and me and him became real good friends. And it all stemmed from him calling me names, the N-word. And I got several other stories. You have to get my book. Can I put a plug?
Oh, absolutely, plug it.
If you look on Amazon, it's in all the websites, bookstores. But if you go on Amazon and just type in book, Why I Shout by Al Brown, it'll pop up and it'll tell my story. It'll give you a little bit of reading material to get you interested. And so nursing assistant, I was a supervisor at a fast food restaurant. I was a dishwasher. I worked on satellite dishes. I worked in telemarketing. I was a drug counselor. CNA in the medical field, and then in the social work, I worked with visitation. I was a visitation worker who brought families together who had been separated bring the children to a visitation for the parents, and then take the children back to the foster home. And then just recently, a little while ago, I was working with Heartland Family Service, and I was working with the homeless. So if you take a look at all that, it had to do with helping people in some kind of aspect, even from the what we would consider the minimal, a dishwasher. I would make sure that your plates and utensils and all that was properly cleaned so that the cooks can serve it to you, serve the food on the clean plates, all the way up to a manager in a fast food joint, to a nursing assistant. All those had to do with people, and I was loving people. And I was loving on people before I even got paid to do all that stuff.
Do you think we overcomplicate trying to find our purpose?
Definitely.
Because I mean, just sitting here listening and looking through, in all reality, purpose comes from God and God alone. There's you're not going to sway me one way different than that. Mm-hmm. Purpose comes from God.
True.
And at the end of the day, God's purpose is to have a relationship with us.
Yep.
So then our purpose is to connect with each other.
To be like God, to be like Jesus. He loved on people, so we ought to love on people. And also in loving on people, introduce them to the life giver. How else can we know our purpose unless you go to the manufacturer? Mm. When we have this microphone and all these other items, there's instruction manual with them. Now, you won't get that instruction manual unless it's approved by the manufacturer for you to get it, however you're going to get it. So there's no way we can have an idea of what our purpose is, but until we connect with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we will never know our true purpose. And like I said, we have to remember that our purpose goes in stages. When I got saved, I was on fire. I mean, on fire. And I served wherever there was a need in the church. And then I was in prison ministry. I was in the street ministry. I was in the children's ministry. I was in the youth ministry. I was on the snow shoveling ministry. I was on the security, you know. And so at one point, even knowing your purpose, we have to understand and know that it's okay to say my plate is full. I cannot do it. Mm. I cannot do no more. And my wife helped me to understand that, because she told me, she said, honey, they're wearing you out. You always doing all this. And then she said, I hardly see you at home. And that's one thing that a lot of people in the church, ministers, preachers, evangelists, whatever your position is, we get so caught up and we have that zeal to do what God would have us to do or what we think God wants us to do for the Lord that we forget about home. The ministry is God first, family second, and then the ministry is about others. And so my wife had to remind me, but she waited a while because she knew how I was going to get, because she's tried to talk to me about it.
She wasn't going to be able to convince you.
Yeah, right? Until after she seen that it was starting to wear on me. And just like I said before, I will do what I believe in my heart I have to do until I know different. And it has to be, God has to speak to somebody to speak to me or speak to me himself. And they have to approach me in the right manner.
Or it's a hard no.
Yeah, because like I said, I've always been a rebel. Mm-hmm. And that rebel is still in me, but he's dormant. Because I have more of the spirit of the Lord living in me than I do my selfish ambitions and selfish desires.
And okay, and that is an interesting aspect because I think sometimes we get in a way, and I can completely relate to when we are at that young stage of being a follower. Mm-hmm. We're on fire. Mm-hmm. We have the attitude of we are going to not just change this person's life, we're going to change the whole world.
The world.
Right? I'm gonna do whatever I can. And after a while, we become tired, we become exhausted, because then the focus is on us and not God.
And we don't have balance.
Right. We're not resting in God.
Right. We have to have balance. Without balance, you're tilted one way or you're tilted the other way. And balance is, I wouldn't say difficult. I'm saying it's challenging. Because we're learning the transformation. You know, in Romans, said, by the renewing of our mind. So we have to get out of self, and God will direct us and guide us and teach us through his Holy Spirit and through Jesus, the Word of God, on how he wants us to do and how he wants to handle certain things.
I've oftentimes just gotten to a place where it's not a resentment, but it's just an exhaustion. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not allowing myself to take the necessary time to renew myself. And, you know, you can correlate it to like working out, right? You mm-hmm. push yourself in the gym, nutrition, everything. And then you get to a point, you're just like, my body is beat up. I don't want to work out anymore. I don't want to eat chicken breast anymore. I'm just exhausted and tired of all this. In the same light is God is saying, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. I've got you. And, you know, reading my devotional this morning was oftentimes we are not allowing ourselves to be carried.
True.
We're the stubborn mule that is plowing the field, and God is trying to restrain us, mm-hmm. but we're too stubborn. Well, God, there's more ministry for me to do. There's more work for me to do. Yeah. You don't understand, God.
We weren't saved by works. We're not saved by works.
Right.
So, yeah. But balance. It comes back to balance. And in that balance, Proverbs 3:5, I believe, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct our path. So he'll tell us, you know, here's the other thing too. If we don't take a break, he'll sit back and let us wear ourselves down. And then next thing you know, you'll be in the hospital. That's where you'll supposedly get a break. But when you're in the hospital, you don't get no rest either, mm-hmm. because they're bugging you all the time, all throughout the night.
Right. And then he'll come to you and say, come to me, all who are weary.
Yeah.
And burdened. Yeah. Yep. Right. What's the one thing that helped you to really balance your life out? Was it your wife speaking into you?
I prayed because I was raised in the church. I knew about prayer. Mm-hmm. When I got sick and tired of my life, I told God, I give up. And then my prayer was, let me put it this way. What I would say to the person who's out here struggling is we have to come to a point in our lives where we're realizing that our way is not working. And I tried everything I could possibly do to do it my way. And my final stages landed me in jail 5 times for fighting and stealing. So it took me 5 times to go to jail to realize how not to end up back in there. And to me, it was an epiphany. I was in jail and a light went off and I was like, oh, snap. I know how not to go to jail. Don't break the law. Don't break the law. So that was the beginning stages. And then it still took some more rough edges to be smoothed down. We just have to get tired of ourselves and the way life is going, because it can always get worse. And then we just have to reach out and seek for some help from somebody who you're looking at or who you see is living a type of lifestyle that you like. I'd like to have that. I got to find out how this person get to that point. But understand that this person is not perfect. This person has frailties as well. And we all will have issues that we're dealing with until the day we die. We did not get saved by our works. The key thing is that we cannot lose our salvation by our works. But what can happen is that our life can be miserable here on earth. And God, Jesus died so that we can be redeemed from sin and the penalty of sin, and that we may live an abundant life here on earth. And for everybody, an abundant life can be different.
Correct.
And so he is faithful and just.
You know, the pastor that of the church I go to, Relevant, he always says, the definition of sin is death. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's a complete separation of God. It doesn't mean you are destined to hell. It just means you are dying. Mm-hmm. And so I want to close it up with, you know, if you're out there and you're just tired, you're exhausted, you're struggling in life, you don't know what your purpose is, you don't have that balance in life, there is a way out there for you to look into. And Al's story, my story, there's plenty of other people out there that, you know, are here to just be a light. And that's our purpose, is to be a light to the world. Amen. And so if you're out there and you're struggling and you look at someone else and you just ask the question, why are they different? Go ask them. And I will promise you that there is a belief in who God is and what God did for us by sending his son in that person. And all you have to do is just surrender.
Amen.
All you have to do is say, I can't do this on my own anymore. My way is not working.
You know, my prayer when I actually gave my life to the Lord is I found myself in the bathroom as a nursing assistant after having a 24-hour partying spree, using the bathroom, going to the bathroom to use the bathroom, and I passed out while sitting on the toilet. And when I came to, I was on the floor, sprawled out. Now use your imagination. I was sitting down to use the bathroom. And I heard, first thing I did is I looked at my watch and I had been out for 2 hours. And then I looked up and I said, I give up. That was my prayer. And then I heard God speak to me and said, look at yourself. You call yourself a nursing assistant. You can't even take care of yourself, let alone somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I repeated it. I give up. And from that day on, I still tried to go back. But from that day on, I was born again. But I had to realize it. I still was trying to forget all that I went through to get me to that point. And I kept teeter-tottering back and forth, back and forth, until I got myself into treatment for the third time. And when I went into treatment for the third time, I completely surrendered. The first two times I completed treatment. The first time I was drunk and high an hour after I graduated. The second time I went in the halfway house, I was in there for 6 months. And then I thought I was cured. So I said, well, I can smoke some weed, but I can't drink. But I would go to the bar with a so-called buddy of mine and started back smoking weed. So then I went, got kicked out of the, I didn't get kicked out. I was embarrassed, so I just left. The third time I went into treatment, I completed the program. I had given my life to Christ. And I said, there's nothing in this world that's going to make me go back. And so I say to you, just throw your hands up in the air. You don't have to get on your knees, but it has to be a form of surrender by your from your heart. If you have difficulty with the words, just tell them, say, God, I give up. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Holy Spirit. Send people to me. Send me where you want me to go so I can learn more of you. And that I can do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
So if you're out there, know that there are many people that have gone in your footsteps. And if you're exhausted, God is there, willing to pick you up and carry you through.
Yes, sir.
And when you make that decision and you are tired of doing it on your own and God is there for you, you will hear the words, "Well done, my faithful servant."